5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell,
America's anchor mom,
fighting for America 1 hour at a time.
Welcome to the family.
The media did not make Donald Trump, and they can't destroy him. To them, life is a war. Every day of their lives is a battle. We are the enemy. Their effort is to eliminate us. Al-Qaeda is not their enemy, and ISIS is not their enemy, and socialism is not their enemy. Communism, we are. Conservative and Republican America, in their view, are the obstacles in their way to their desire to create this totalitarian state. I have to clarify, it is not over. It is still happening. The Democrat Party and the media and all of these people from the Obama administration who ran this scandal are still running it. The objective remains to get Donald Trump. It's not going to work on Trump. He doesn't fit that mold. They're trying to every day. It's kind of comical to watch.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence.
You've just signed up for the WBR Army.
Strap in.
This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Well, we finally got to the crime in this whole hush money case, because it certainly wasn't the hush money. It wasn't a check. It wasn't some weird ledger keeping. It wasn't something Donald Trump did or did not do. It wasn't that. It was that Michael Cohen stole from Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. Unbelievable, but really not so unbelievable. Shocked? Not shocked? You guys shocked anymore about anything that comes out? No. Because what Rush Limbaugh was just talking about. They've been at this for years. This has been 20, 30, 50 years in the making. Facts. Got to read you this. We got all sorts of media sound to pepper in here. And I want to read you the beginning of this New York Post story. Beautifully illustrates that the only proof of a crime here in this hush money case is the one that the star witness admitted yesterday to committing. Larceny. Theft. I embezzled money from Donald Trump. Wait, say what? I mean, of course he did. Headline, Trump's ex-fixer Michael Cohen admits stealing $60,000 from him after Trump stiffed vendor in bizarre scheme to rig a popularity poll. There's a lot going on in this, right? So let's just open the door, and then I'm going to open up to MSNBC's Yasmin Vusari-Blokhitin. She's going to tell us what happened moments after this testimony came out yesterday. So it's the defense's turn, right? Prosecution rests its case. Defense has their opportunity to blow holes in everything that Michael Cohen has said. And they've done brilliantly. Donald Trump's fixer turned foe, Michael Cohen, coolly confessed to stealing $60,000 from his ex-boss. $60,000, claiming that the theft was a form of self-help Monday as he wrapped his testimony in the former president's hush money trial. The convicted liar, would that suck? That's almost as bad as Joe Biden's. That little asterisk next to his name, it's coming. Scumbag, liar in chief, fraudster, right? Tragedy porn, survivor, that's what it is. The convicted liar made the admission while being questioned by defense attorney Todd Blanche about a bizarre scheme to rig a popularity poll of the most famous businessmen in Donald Trump's favor. So you stole from the Trump Organization, right? Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, asked Cohen, the star witness testifying against Trump, who's charged with fudging company records to conceal a $130,000 payment Cohen made to porn star Stormy Daniels to bury a sex scandal before the 2016 election. A payment Donald Trump says he knows nothing about. Conversations he said he never had. Sex that he said he never had. Sex she said that they never had. And like the January 6th High School Musical, here we are wasting time, wasting money when Americans are suffering. I just wanted to put that on the table because that's the reality. All these reindeer games meant to destroy Trump, tarnish Trump, ruin in your mind who the guy is, so they can stay in control. All of this while America has been swirling down the toilet. It's offensive. So you stole from the Trump Organization. Yes, sir, Cohen, 57, matter-of-factly replied from his seat at the defense table, some 15 feet away from Trump, in Manhattan Supreme Court. Cohen later testified he stole as a form of, quote, self-help in response to Trump, slashing his bonus to $50,000 from the $150,000 he'd been receiving. Wow. I only get 50? I better tack on an extra 30 or 60 to that, just to make it fair. Listen to MSNBC's Yasmin Vasojian. She's going to come out of the courthouse. Breaking news! Oh my gosh! Let's listen to how she is going to reveal this really juicy tidbit that Michael Cohen's a freaking criminal beyond a criminal. Go.
Let me read for you the exchange between Todd Blanche and Michael Cohen. So you only gave him $20,000 and you took $30,000. Blanche, you stole from the Trump Organization, right? Cohen says, yes, sir. Blanche goes on later on. He says, you did steal from the Trump Organization based upon the expected reimbursement, correct? And he says, yes, sir. So again, that is breaking it out because essentially they walked through what it is that Michael Cohen actually paid Renfidge, and this goes back to, Jose, what you were just talking about, in this brown paper bag, all cash. He came to the Trump Organization, an individual who worked for Renfidge, to collect this payment, $20,000, in which Michael Cohen paid out to this individual. The other $30,000 Michael Cohen kept to himself. Subsequently, why? Todd Blanche is now saying, okay, so you stole from the Trump Organization, correct? And Michael Cohen says, yes, correct. I believe what during this cross we're trying to get at essentially here is even during this time in which Michael Cohen contends that he was very loyal to the Trump Organization, protecting the former president, protecting his boss at the time, a man he has worked with for so long, right, since 2007, who is seen more as a father figure even, that he would then subsequently steal from him because he felt as if he was not getting the appropriate bonus.
Shocker!
That he was due, that he was expected guy. Certainly a big exchange there, yeah. I have to say. A momentous kind of exchange between Michael Cohen, Todd Blanche. Michael Cohen says, yes, I in fact stole from the Trump Organization.
There is the crime, ladies and gentlemen. That is the crime from the star witness. It's called larceny, right? It's crazy. Now I have to ask, are these media folk, are they playing? Are they actually surprised? Did they fall for what the narrative has been? Don't they have the cheat sheet? Don't they have like the teacher's key with all the answers? Oh, here's what we're going to do, but this is really what's going on. Are you that dumb? Because it sounds like a Jake Tapper, incredulous, speechless that this testimony comes out, that Michael Cohen admits that he stole from Donald Trump. Go.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating stuff. And I have to say, I'm still kind of reeling from the revelation that Michael Cohen stole money from the Trump Organization. And that wasn't, at least to my knowledge, that the prosecution didn't get that out earlier, because it's not as though the prosecution is going to be helped by further evidence that Michael Cohen is a shady character. I'll get to the newest stuff in a second, but like, I mean, what's your reaction to that news? Because that was just kind of stunning.
I'm shocked that we are hearing it for the first time on day three of cross-examination of Michael Cohen, that the prosecution did not take the sting out, did not front it, because it goes to the heart of the actual case. It's not just about establishing him as a liar. They've done that. The prosecution fronted that. We knew that. He has convictions. But going to the heart of what you were telling your employer about what money you were owed and the extent of it, we're talking about $420,000. We've already seen the payment
structure here. Right, this isn't like 15 bucks.
It's not 15 bucks.
You know that this is information that Trump and his team has had, that they've been sitting on this. It's fantastic. And then we've got to bounce over to Rachel Maddow. She's literally verklempt. She doesn't even know what to do. She's going to try to tell you that actually the defense team is really, they've been very boring. Very, very boring. I don't think we've heard anything compelling yet here, she tells her team at MSNBC. Listen.
But as it has been presented thus far, the cross-examination of Michael Cohen thus far is the defense's case. And it is thus far a splatter painting of stuff that does not connect or tell a narrative. Okay. And they don't need to tell a narrative. They don't need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt any counter explanation for the events that are at issue in this case. They just need to poke holes in the prosecution's case, but they do need to hold the jury's interest and seem like they are taking up the jury's time for a reason. And there are very few moments at which I think Todd Blanche in this defense is saying a thing that seems to mean a thing to this jury. He may do the world's greatest, or the defense team may do the world's greatest summation that brings it all together in some way that's unforeseeable from this point. But in the moment, it is discursive, sprawling, and uninteresting.
So you stole from the Trump organization, right? Todd Blanche asked Cohen. Yes, sir, he said. That strikes Rachel Maddow as discursive, sprawling, and uninteresting? Listen to the disconnect. You got nothing. You've been fooled. You're part of the con. You're the problem, Rachel. Look at you, triggered and out of your mind. Desperate to do whatever you can. You know who else is desperate? Lawrence O'Donnell, her colleague. Larry, I got some sound from him as he's desperate too to save whatever he can for Alvin Bragg. No, don't let this case go away. Oh boy, it gets better next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. All right, so we got to go now. We got to listen to one of the few people on any of these panels. Thank God it's the chief legal analyst for CNN. His name is Eli Honig, and he's going to come out and he's going to say just incredulously, Michael Cohen just admitted that he is the guy who actually committed the crime. He stole $60,000 from the Trump organization, Wolf Blitzer, who's kind of in this like time warp. Like, what's going on? He's like, so wait a minute. They knew, the prosecution knew that Michael Cohen had stolen from the Trump organization and they never charged him? Is that a bigger crime than when Donald Trump is alleged to have committed? Oh, listen to the give and go. CNN, go.
I think the revelation, though, this morning about the theft of $30,000, which was doubled because they covered his taxes, so $60,000, it came out in a glancing, unclear way on direct. It came out like a bomb earlier today. I don't know how much they can do to fix that. It just... at a certain point, it is the fact Michael Cohen did steal this money. And what makes that really so important, Wolf, is it's not as if Michael Cohen was just stealing on the side. That'd be bad enough. The problem is he was stealing from the exact reimbursement at issue in this case. So the prosecution's core argument is Donald Trump knew what that $420,000 was all about. He was totally read in on it. Turns out Michael Cohen was stealing from him within that $420,000.
Does Michael Cohen's acknowledgement, admission that he stole tens of thousands of dollars from the Trump organization potentially open him up to further criminal prosecution?
It's a great question. The answer is not anymore because the statute of limitations has run out. But it's a very fair question to ask. Gee, folks, of the jury, they gave him a free pass. He committed larceny. It's a higher degree of felony than what Donald Trump is charged
what?
With. Yet they gave Michael Cohen a free pass, even though he's now admitted that he stole what amounts to $60,000. It goes to his credibility. It goes to his relationship with the DA.
Lawfare 101. Don't hire a serial criminal as your star witness. What they're trying to say is that Donald Trump knew full well about all of this stuff. He knew that Michael Cohen was stealing from him. He signed off on the theft and was like, absolutely, I'm going to sign off on that. And then to hide that, he went back and he fiddled with his ledger. In what world does that make sense? It doesn't. It doesn't. It's beautiful. And by the way, the statute of limitations, isn't it so curious how they couldn't go after Michael Cohen for being a dirtbag, but they can change the statute of limitations for sexual crimes in New York City just so E. Jean Carroll can squeak in before the 25 years, right? And accuse Donald Trump of something that he didn't do? It's so similar. All of this, it's so freaking similar. Let's go over to my boyfriend, Larry O'Donnell. This is just indicative of why your mainstream news is unwatchable. Present us with the facts. I don't need a panel of seven people. We don't need a wind machine like the January 6th committee High School Musical presentation. You don't need bells and whistles when you've got the facts. Because when you have the facts are the facts. Larry O'Donnell and the Kumbaya Women, MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell, the world's most boring alive corpse, okay? Sitting there blowing sunshine up his skirt as Lawrence O'Donnell tries desperately to try to salvage Alvin Bragg's case against Donald Trump. Listen.
Inside the courtroom, you've been there almost every day. You have the strength of
oh boy.
Beyond mortal men. But what was worth
what
it to
turn.
You today? What did you see? What did you hear?
Well, you know, the courtroom is where I began as a writer and a reporter a long time ago.
Yeah,
so this
great.
Is a homecoming for me in terms of the
workplace.
Nobody
cares!
The shocking thing at the end of that cross-examination, and I just can't tell you how stunning it was, because it's the thing that I was waiting for. I saw everything Todd Blanche. I've seen every minute of cross-examination. I've seen every single question
what
he's
a
asked.
Guy.
And he sat down and ended his cross-examination without asking a single question about the $130,000 that appears on the Alan Weisselberg notes about how they were structuring the payment to Michael Cohen. He asked about the $50,000 that's irrelevant to the $130,000, and that's where he very effectively got Michael Cohen to agree that, yes, he stole $30,000. Later, when Cohen was asked about that on redirect by the prosecution, it didn't really sound like stealing $30,000. It sounded a lot like Michael Cohen doing the little that he could within that calculation to rebalance the bonus he thought he deserved, and it still came out as less than the bonus he thought he deserved and the bonus he'd gotten the year before.
Wow! Sort of like we can redefine the word woman, or inflation, or vaccine, or any of this stuff. We can redefine larceny as rebalancing a bonus. That's legendary, Larry. So to review, by the way, just so you know, Michael Cohen admitted he would negotiate settlements for one amount and report them to the Trump Organization at a significantly higher amount. And then he would keep the excess. That is called embezzlement. That is a crime. Alvin Bragg was aware of these crimes and refused to prosecute Michael Cohen for them. Instead, he's prosecuting Cohen's victims for failing to itemize the payments made to the embezzler. Does that make sense? Of course not. Hey, Larry, maybe that's why they didn't ask about the $130,000. Because it's all garbage. I feel so much better, don't you? Quick timeout when we come back. Let's go here instead, ladies and gentlemen. See what we're talking about. The left's unsustainable arrogance. I know, pretty broad. I got a focus for you next. So we understand that the jury could get this case, this hush money case, which isn't a case, by Thursday. So it's so unfortunate that many of these diversity hires, people who may well be intelligent individuals, people who may well be good at their jobs, be put into positions because of what they look like, not because of their skill, who are falling flat on their faces. It is not a ringing endorsement for diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's not a ringing endorsement for ESG, for this kumbaya. What you look like is far more important than your God-given gifts and talents and your audacity to outwork everybody. You know, we're going to be here on Memorial Day. Why do we work on Memorial Day? Because I don't want to go to the pool with my family and I hate barbecue? No. Because it's important. Because other shows take a day off. And because we also want to celebrate the men and women who made this country great, period. We want to be here for that. But think about Claudine Gay. Think about these people. Think about the woman. There was another person. She's in the medical school. at Harvard. They've been caught plagiarizing out the freaking wazoo. It's not like a, oh, I forgot to put a little reference there. I mean, it's pervasive. It's embarrassing. And instead of being punished for breaking rules, rules are bent to accommodate people so that they can fail into positions they probably ought not be. That's not a racist comment. Look, if you're a white person who's put in a job and you don't perform and you're found guilty of breaking laws or rules or norms of practice, then you should be booted as fast as anybody else. But when this society falls over itself to accommodate people as some kind of an evening of the scales, we're going to make everything even, which is the height of socialism. We're well past socialism, ladies and gentlemen. We're full-bore communism. It's not even a question anymore. And then you hear the left's unconscionable, unsustainable arrogance. James Carville, these people on the left who are just toxic personalities, they are rearing their ugly heads in their own natural habitat. James Carville had to be watching these proceedings on some closed circuit television from his house because there was a video yesterday and every other word had to be beeped out. Bloop, bloop, bloop. He's like that boop and a boop, 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 boop. He was just F-bombing going nutty over this Michael Cohen admitting to being a dirtbag who stole $60,000 from Donald Trump, which completely unraveled the whole idea that Donald Trump knew about it, signed off on it, approved it, then tried to hide it. It's idiotic. You don't become a man worth multiple billions of dollars. You don't become the face and the name and the brand of a global empire by signing off and agreeing to let people steal your money. Kind of a lousy business practice. Whole case just went... And I bring up James Carville because he did lose his shizzle over this Cohen stuff. But he also decided to step in it by saying he believes that there's only a 50% chance that any of these presidential debates is going to happen. Why? Not because Joe Biden is weakened at Bernie's. Not because there's no ability for them to hop him up on drugs now that Donald Trump wants him drug tested before he comes out. I don't think that's an outrageous premise. You want us to sign a pledge that we're going to get behind whomever the presumptive candidate and winner is. I'm not going to do that. We know what you did in 2020. I'm not going to sign a pledge, Kristen Welker, you hack, as she demands Marco Rubio say that he will absolutely support and concede to whomever wins. No, we know how you people are dirty. So James Carville is coming out and saying, oh my gosh, in his triggered leftist way, he doesn't believe Donald Trump is going to show up for the presidential debates. Donald Trump wants four debates, James. He wants four. In fact, he said we should do them every single month up to the election. That would be five. So let's get the story. This is from Inside with Jen Psaki. Ew, on MSNBC. I know. Right? Breitbart.com, Carville, only 50% chance presidential debates happen. It's curious to listen to their mindset. Because when you read into their words and you examine what they're saying, you get to see what's really going on. Democrat strategist James Carville said Monday on MSNBC's Inside that there was only a 50% chance the presidential debates happen. Host Jen Psaki said, what do you think Biden needs to do in this debate? Well, I was going to say resign, retire, go into a nursing home, go back to his hyperbaric chamber, whatever it is. Carville said he needs to hit the abortion issue home. That's the disconnect. That's the left playing its only card. They have two. Because they had three with all this lawfare against Donald Trump, and that just went... Aileen Cannon has already dismantled so much of what's going on in the classified documents case. Because the real person, the real offender for keeping classified documents is the very person the Attorney General of the United States is running interference for. So none of us gets to hear his sit-down interview with the special prosecutor, Robert Hur. Isn't that his first name? Is it Robert? I think it's Robert. Because they don't want you to know how bad how badly gone Joe Biden is. They don't want you to hear that years ago he had a hard time putting things together. He didn't remember what year his son died. He didn't remember when he was vice president. He didn't remember crap. And then he spoke cogently with his ghostwriter about classified documents. That's okay. But Donald Trump's home should be raided by the FBI. After the National Archives works with the other auspices of the Biden administration to force Trump to accept pallets of boxes from his presidency from the White House. And just so happens that in those boxes, they were searching for super top secret stuff. Now Donald Trump's indicted and on trial for that. Carville realizes they've got two cards left. The lawfare is over with. Cases have imploded. Game over. They have abortion, which I don't know about you, doesn't trump inflation. It doesn't trump meaningful employment. It's not as big as safety and security and immigration. It's not as big as drugs, period. Abortion, James Carville says. They need to hit this abortion issue home. This is the first thing Joe Biden should do. I'm not going to point to the Supreme Court. I'm not going to complain about the Supreme Court operating under the same ethics rules. I don't even know what he's talking about. The one issue I would kick hard. I don't even need to go much further than that. When asked, the lion's share of the country puts abortion down at the very bottom echelon of priorities. If you want to go terminate your pregnancy, that's on you. You do you. But we've got much bigger issues here. Single issue voters are the scourge. The same way the media are the scourge of actual information. So think about all of these people falling flat on their face, ladies and gentlemen. Psaki added, he's agreed to two debates, Trump. I'm a little skeptical that it could happen because Trump is a liar. What? Do you think Biden should agree to more debates? Or is two plenty for the season? Carville added, I'm with you. I don't think it's much better than 50-50 that Trump shows up on June 27th. I mean, it was a good talking point. But the way Trump's mind works, all I'm going to do is help him, right? Why risk it? I don't know. I don't think he shows up. One of the basics of this constitutional republic, aside from the Constitution, which is pretty big, is this idea that our representatives serve us, that we get to hear their thoughts, their plans, their priorities, their platforms. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you have done? Why should we reelect you? Why should we not go back to a better time? They know they're dead in the water. It's ridiculous. The exorbitant skyrocketing, by the way, I want to say this. Let's read this. Did you guys know that most of us have a negative view of Congress? Of course you do. Well, apparently Rasmussen goes out and they survey all these people and they ask him the most legendary question. Here's the question. The Rasmussen poll found 54% of likely voters say they believe a group of people randomly selected out of a phone book would do a better job of addressing the nation's issues than the current Congress. 54%. Give me a bunch of randos. I don't care who they are. Put them in that position. I bet they would do a better job than these losers who don't listen to us in our great constitutional republic. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. Why would people say that? Well, if we can agree that James Carville's abortion issue is not even close to what matters most to us, let's look at just being able to go out to McDonald's and buy something for your family, right? How about in 2019, the end of 2019, a Big Mac cost $3.99. Right now, under Joe Biden and inflation, $7.49, an increase of 87%. You like a McChicken sandwich? I like the McChicken. Used to be $1.29 when Donald Trump was president. Now it's $3.89, a 201% increase. Personally, I love the McNuggets. I can eat those all day long. Not anymore. They used to be $4.49. Now, $7.58, a 69% increase for 10 lousy pieces of chicken. How about Taco Bell? Love Taco Bell. Nachos Bel Grande. Used to be under Donald Trump, $3.29. Today, $5.89. 79% increase. That's affordable. How about a spicy potato soft taco? That's not a good representative. Who wants a spicy potato soft taco anyway? How about the Crunchwrap Supreme? Used to be $3.49 under Donald Trump. Today, $5.29. 52% increase. And a beefy five-layer burrito was $1.69. You could actually grab and go and take that and not be broke. Now, $3.69. 118% increase. Why ever would Joe Biden not want to debate Donald Trump? Why should he not show up? Because he's going to get his butt cleaned. Duh. Drug test him. I want to see what's going on behind the curtain at Weekend at Bernie's, don't you? Quick timeout. When we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, this is exactly the kind of story that pushes parents to the right. It takes us to Oregon. Yeah, it has to do with the tranny. I'll tell you all about it coming up next. You know, this is exactly the kind of story that pushes parents to the right. And if we could agree that the left is losing this culture war, that everything that they say that we should be behind is antithetical to that great instinct you have in your gut, the traditional family values. I have gay friends who live very traditional family values. Two women married with children. Two women who work supporting each other, building a house, building a household. Very specific roles, traditional family values. We don't have to get too deep into this. The fringe is being repudiated because of crap like this. A parent claims the Oregon Athletic Association, apparently their child is involved in this, threatens to ban girls who speak out against transgender dudes pretending to be chicks and competing against them. Wow, nothing says First Amendment quite like that, right? I mean, it feels so warm and inclusive over there on the progressive left. I love it. Let's read the story. Breitbart. Parent claims Oregon Athletics Association threatens to ban girls who speak out against trans athletes. Because that makes sense. So it's the Oregon School Activities Association. Apparently they're going to ban girls from speaking out against transgenders in their sports. News of this alleged ban, this is like muzzling Donald Trump at his trial, right? News of this alleged ban broke in the wake of transgender athlete Aiden Gallagher, a boy living as a girl, winning an Oregon high school track event this past weekend. As Breitbart News reported back then, Aiden Gallagher, high school sophomore and a male, eked out a win over a female runner in the 200-meter dash in the Oregon School Activities Association Track and Field State Championships. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think a boy pretending to be a girl who has to eke out a win over a girl would get his clock clean competing against boys? Hells yeah. Kind of like Leah Thomas, a.k.a. Will Thomas, who had to tie with Riley Gaines in the pool. No wonder he was ranked 439th in the men and number one among women. So you got the Oregon School Activities Association Track and Field State Championships. Crowd can be heard cheering the female runner. She's in the lead at the beginning of the video. However, those cheers turn into boos as the boy edges out his female opponent and steals the win from her. Parents don't need to be indoctrinated. They know right from wrong. They support their daughters. The moment was captioned by former Kentucky swimmer and Save Women's Sports advocate Riley Gaines. Speaking with the Publica, a mother whose daughter competed in the event, said this Oregon Athletic Association will ban the girls if they speak out publicly. Quote, "My daughter is in her senior year. She has to compete with this guy, Aiden, who just won first at state and took away spots from our girls. He doesn't deserve it. He needs to be with the men. I don't care if he's transgender. You can have your own opinion and do what you want to do, but you have no right taking away from these girls.
The sad thing is they had to blur her face while interviewing her.
For retribution?
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? Has anyone been afraid to speak out? The reporter asked. Oh, yes. Yeah, says the mom. A lot of parents are afraid to speak out because there is an announcement from this Oregon State Athletic Association that if you discriminate or you put anyone down for their gender, if you talk negatively, it can disqualify the children from events. But it can also pick out parents. What are we? Nazi Germany? Is that what that is? So everybody has to change what they think. All of the females have to be made and have to be put in an uncomfortable situation that's unfair. So everybody can pretend this false reality, which gives the benefit from a dude who has mental issues and believes he's a girl. Sorry. Talk to the experts. That's what that diagnosis is. I hope he has therapy. I hope he gets help. But get the hell out of our female sports. And then you've got a bunch of leftists sitting behind a desk, the same way that CNN panel of seven schmucks, providing you breathless, breaking 24-hour news coverage of all of this hush money trial stuff, right? It's as discredited, as delusional, as unbelievable, as deranged as that. An athletics association thinks it can come after girls and keep them from competing so it keeps them in line. That's not called freedom. It's called tyranny. That's called authoritarian rule. That's called the new liberal world order. And I strongly, proudly, loudly, as a mom, say suck it to anybody who wants to get behind that. Don't you dare try to intimidate us. There's a hell of a lot more of us in Realville than y'all over in Crazy Town. Facts. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program is on deck. This guy is just going fast. Let's talk about preying on our children. Speaking of kids, a bill meant to protect kids online. Why would Meta and Google be spending $1 million to lobby lawmakers to kill it? Huh. Let's go there, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. It's next.